May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you, like me, ever questioned if God was really watching over you, protecting you, present in your life? Have you been through an event of suffering where you have questioned God's presence? We heard read in Exodus, from the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. We can be almost certain that the Israelites never expected to encounter God in the wilderness. Yet there they were, being led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. By all accounts, this Exodus story is a miraculous one. And yet, the Israelites begin to question whether or not God is really, really with them. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? The questioning is not without cause. It was incredible lack of water. It was severe. So severe that the lives, not only of the adults, but also their children and all of their livestock, was in grave danger. The Sinai Peninsula, through which the Israelites journeyed slowly from bondage in Egypt to the Promised Land, was then and still is today an unforgiving region. It is rocky, it's barren, water is very hard to come by. Thirst became their steady companion. And the Israelites moved from being somewhat anxious to being very anxious and to even being depressed. So much so that they started to move toward a resentment of God. To a resentment toward a God, toward Yahweh, their name for God, who would lead them out to this terrible place to perish. It makes us look at our own lives and reflect upon those times of our lives when we have found ourselves in unforgiving regions, questioning in our hearts whether or not God was still with us or whether or not God even cared. Like the Israelites, you may have encountered or be encountering a terrible trial that can shake you literally to the core, cause you to question deep within, is God with me or not? Is Jesus with me or not? When your world is turned upside down and everything thought to be true is now up for grabs, it is quite natural to question everything. It's what we call in psychological terms cognitive dissonance. It's not making sense, even our relationship with God. Throughout this ordeal, in this place of dryness, we read that the Israelites do encounter God. What we glean from this Exodus passage is how important it is to keep communicating with God, to keep talking to God, to question God, to challenge God in the midst of difficulties. And in the spiritually dry periods of your life. God is with them. And God answers their cry. The Lord said to Moses, their leader, strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. It took faith for Moses to do that. And when Moses does that, the Israelites speak to God through Moses, who is their mediator. Water comes flowing forth from the rock. Moses was their mediator, their connection to God, and ours, of course, is Jesus Christ. And so we shift into that very long gospel passage today. And we hear that Jesus came to a Samaritan city near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And we hear that Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired out from all of his walking and journeying, and so he was just sitting by the well. And it was about noon, and along comes a Samaritan woman to draw water. By all accounts, the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman is a very unlikely one. Jesus was heading back to Galilee, and he goes through Samaria, which, if you were to look with me at a map, you would say that's not the way you would go. It's out of the way. It would be like me saying I'm going home to my farm in Versailles by way of Frankfurt. It's not an easy choice. It's not the normal choice. The other thing that's strange about the story is that normally the Samaritan woman would be drawing water either early in the morning or at sunset, not in the heat of the day. That's not when you would journey to the well. And yet here she comes, and here is Jesus meeting what would be to him, or not to him, but to his colleagues, an improper person, a Samaritan woman. Now, hard to hear as women in the congregation, but it was a double negative. A Samaritan, and it was a woman. And again, the scene suggests dryness. You're all going to be thirsty by the end of this sermon. We're going to drink from the well of life up here. The Samaritan woman has clearly had a very difficult life. She's had 5 husbands, and she's now living with a man. And she was about the endless chore of having to go to the well to bring water back to where her family lived. She has a lot of skepticism, unhappiness with the life she is living. Anglican Bishop N.T. Wright, professor, writes in his book, The Original Jesus, John's gospel is written to say something about Jesus and something specific to the readers. He writes, they are not just to be better informed, they are to be transformed. The encounter that Christ has with this woman not only transforms her, but it then transforms others because of her, other Samaritans. The Samaritan woman also shows that she too is willing to question God, to contend with the Messiah, with Jesus. She says to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And then she says, sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. At the doubting times of our lives, it is okay to question God about your present circumstances. Many parishioners throughout my ministry who have battled serious illness or lost loved ones unexpectedly, or were told they were no longer to come to work, or have gone through a difficult divorce, have said to me, "I know I shouldn't question God." I've heard that many times. And what I said to them as I matured in my priesthood was that it is okay. I question God, especially in the trying times of our lives. In fact, we see that it is because of the Samaritan woman's questioning that Jesus has a profound answer. If she hadn't questioned him, she may not have gotten the answer where he says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water here will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give you will never be thirsty. The water that I will give you will spring up in you like a gushing life eternal." Very close to the end of his life, the 20th century theologian and priest Henry Nouwen allowed one of his private journals to be published. It was called The Inner Voice of Love, A Journey Through Anguish to Freedom. It's a collection of his journaling, his entries into what was, he called, the most painful period of his life, a time when he questioned everything, even his faith in God. However, it was in this period of doubt and questioning that Henry came to a deeper and more profound faith. He writes, "During my months of anguish, I often wondered if God is real or just a product of my imagination. I now know that while I felt completely abandoned, God didn't leave me alone. Many friends and family members have died during the past 8 years, and my own death is not so far away. But I have heard the inner voice of love, deeper and stronger than ever." He concluded, "I want to keep trusting in that voice and be led by it beyond the boundaries of my short life to where God is all in all." These are beautiful stories before us today from Exodus and John's Gospel, two of my favorite books of the Bible. They remind us that the Christian life is not only lived in places of happiness and abundance. There will be on our journeys places and times of great difficulty and dryness. The amazing thing is that it is in those places where we are brought to a deeper and more profound faith. I probably in my life have had more periods of dryness than mountaintop richness. Times like you where we question whether or not God is with us. Yet it is often during these times that we would not expect, but then encounter God in the wilderness, at the well. And it is in our daring to question where we often will find God's answers rushing forth like cool water. You see, we are the Israelites. We are the Samaritan woman, searching for God, especially and most of all in the trials of our lives, in the desert and at the well. So on this third Sunday of Lent, let our prayer and our hope be that we will be nourished anew with God's ultimate answer, the living water of Jesus Christ. Like the Samaritan woman, may you hear Christ's words, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Amen.